Everybody, welcome to this almost the first meeting, certainly the first meeting since the election of the Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee. What I'm proposing for this evening is we'll go around and just make sure we all know each other, the idea is really that we set an agenda for the year tonight. And we're coming up with some proposals to put to you for consideration, and then after that and that's the first part of the agenda, and then we'll go on to the other items afterwards. anything else? But actually, we'll just make the introductions first. Can we start with you, Jenny, and go round?
Yes, Jenny Bowden, Harvard and with you, Crossword.
Okay. I'm Angela Rockwood, I'm Man of War.
Anne Hotz, also Man of War. Julie Reed, Lincoln Glasgow Harvard.
Yeah, you talk about you too, John, because actually some members don't know the officers yet. Okay. They'll probably know you quite well soon.
John Holmes, I'm Development Manager.
I'm Michelle Smith, I'm Economic Growth and Strategic Project Manager.
Hi, I'm Dean Piper, I'm Head of Economic Development and Planning.
I'm Andrew Reed, I'm a member for Coton and also a cabinet member for this area.
I'm Scott Spencer, what's even know, so what I'm standing in for Doug Brooks or the team.
Peter Rachel in Milford.
Brian Cross to Hillcroft.
And I'm my ward, I'm Francis Beattie, my ward's Millage.
I'm Jim Dean from Democratic Services.
Thanks. And Jim, we'll pass over to you for the agenda items.
Thank you, Chairman. So the first item of business, if you would approve the minutes of the previous meeting of the 7th of March.
Yeah, I'd like to propose we accept them, Chairman.
Jenny Barron is seconding.
Thank you.
Apologies.
Apologies, yes. Thanks, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor A. McNaughton, who is substituted by Councillor Anne Hobbs. Councillor D. McNaughton, who is substituted by Councillor Loughran. Councillor Powell isn't here and he's not appointed a substitute, as far as I'm aware. No. And Councillor Ruxell, who's substituted tonight by Councillor Spencer.
Thank you very much. Public question time.
We're nil.
Councillor session.
Nil.
Members' items.
Nil.
Called in items.
Nil.
And for those who are new to the scrutiny committee, you'll get the hang of what all that means in due course. In a way, we're going to begin by setting out what scrutiny does now. And I should also say that Jane Peters, I believe, organising training on scrutiny for all scrutiny panel members across the three scrutiny committees in the autumn. So if you feel slightly nervous about it right now, don't, because particularly today is just setting our agenda. And with that, I'm going to pass straight over to Dean, who's our head of service, and is going to tell you what scrutiny is all about.
That's quite an introduction. Thanks, Chair. So, good evening to all of you tonight, and very nice to meet you. I've been post now for about 3 months, so I'm starting to get up to speed with Stafford Borough, and it's been really, really good 3 months working with all of the officers and members. Tonight what I'm going to do is just introduce very briefly the work programme report. Will be a short presentation, which will just set a bit of the context for this committee in terms of the work programme for the year ahead. And I think, Chair, you want to sort of facilitate a discussion really about the proposed topics that the committee may want to select and look at in a bit more detail. So I think a report has been circulated and that just sets out some very brief details in terms of the work programme, and you'll see the meetings that are programmed in for the municipal year are on that report, and there are already a number of items identified against each meeting. So I'm not going to go through those now in detail, but I'll do the presentation and then obviously open up for discussion. So,
yeah.
Do you want to stay down there?
Up to you. Up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Chair, do you want me to stand or sit, or does it?
Well, you decide. As long as the clicker works from that distance, I think we're okay.
Okay.
Should do.
Well done.
Works. Okay. So, in terms of the presentation tonight, it's not a training session. I think the training has been promised in a few months' time. But this just really will provide you with an overview of what this committee is about. A little bit about the purpose of scrutiny and what makes effective scrutiny, but more importantly, the role of this committee, the remit of this committee, and then, as I said, the discussion around the work programme for the forthcoming municipal year. So, in terms of support for the committee, we tried to do something a bit different this year in that across all of the different scrutiny committees, we've identified lead officers who are members of the council's leadership team. So I've been asked to be lead officer for this committee in my role as head of economic planning and planning, but I will be ably supported by Michelle and John and Alex Yendall, who's strategic planning placemaking manager. He's not here tonight, but Alex is the key person in relation to local plan and planning policy. So obviously Alex in the future. Michelle leads on all of our economic development regeneration projects, and John in terms of managing the development management service, of which there'll be more on that later. So that those are the key officers, and obviously Jim supporting the team. So in terms of purpose of scrutiny, as I said, this isn't a training session, but the purpose of scrutiny is about firstly holding local decisions to account for the decisions they make. And that includes the council overall, the council's cabinet, and obviously senior officers who are making decisions about the day-to-day services of the council and projects and policies. It is also very much about considering and challenging performance and delivery of services within the remit of this committee. It's looking in detail as well where there are services that have been delivered that we seem to be having problems with, where there are particular issues with performance. And the committee can do a bit of a deep dive in terms of why those issues are occurring and what could be done to improve services going forward. And I think the important thing to note as well, for all of you as councillors, it's about representing local residents and feeding in local people's views on life in the borough. So that is a really important role of scrutiny. In terms of effective scrutiny, firstly, it is about being seen as a critical friend and actually supporting council officers, cabinet members to deliver good quality services and deliver projects that are successful. So it is about being a critical friend, looking at where decisions can be improved and where things can be improved for the future. It's not necessarily about blame and apportioning blame, looking at negatives, but how can we improve things going forward? How can we make positive changes? So I think, Chair, that's really, really important for the committee to bear in mind as we go forward. In terms of the committee's role, there are four key areas. Firstly, around policy development and review. So any policy strategy that is developed within the remit of this committee, it is about looking at those policies, whether they're new policies or existing ones that have been reviewed. Holding the cabinet, the executive, to account for key decisions. As I've alluded to, performance management and looking at performance indicators relevant to this committee. And a further area is around external partners. It isn't just the Borough Council, but where we do work with external partners, the County Council, for example, and others, there is an opportunity to look at scrutiny of those bodies as well. But the principal power is around influence. This isn't a decision-making body or group, but it can advise and make recommendations to Cabinet, Council or any other committee as appropriate. So in terms of policy development and review, as I've alluded to, it can be around looking at current council policies, whether that's around planning policy, the local plan, for example, it could be around economic development, and looking at future policy developments as well, and how this committee can feed into ensuring that the council has good policy in whatever area it is looking at. So think about existing policies as well as new policies as they come forward to Cabinet, and is there an opportunity to influence those policies? Holding the executive to account, there are a number of different ways in which the committee can do that. You will be familiar with the call-in procedure, which can be enacted before a decision is implemented. So reports go to Cabinet, decisions get made, and there is a period in which decisions can be called in and then looked at further within this committee. Or it could be you wait for a decision to be implemented and look at that a few months down the line to see whether that decision has brought about the effect that it was intended to do or whether it needs to be reviewed. And I think important documents to look at are the Cabinet Forward Plan, which are updated on a monthly basis, and Cabinet Agendas. So just see if there are any things there that are of interest and could be put forward for a future meeting. Performance management and review, as I've alluded to, that is a key role of scrutiny. We have a performance management framework well established here. We have a 3-year corporate plan, which is in its final year. And within that, we have corporate business objective 1, which is around delivering sustainable economic and housing growth, providing income and jobs. So corporate business objective 1 is the key objective to focus on within this committee. We have annual delivery plans, targets and projects, and all of those are reported to Cabinet and scrutiny on a quarterly basis. So that is another feature to note. I touched on this already, but I think it's fair to say that we work with many different partners to deliver our economic growth strategy and to deliver projects in the corporate plan. And I've mentioned Staffordshire County Council already, but Chambers of Commerce, local college, there are many more which Michelle and I could tell you about. But those partners, if there is an issue that you want to explore in more detail, they can be invited to attend scrutiny and present, and you can ask them questions in the same way you would ask questions of council officers. So the remit of this committee, corporate business objective 1 and the supporting delivery plans. Services and functions within the remit include economic growth and strategic projects, development management, strategic planning, local plans, and also within business objective 1 is housing strategy. We have a number of actions there around delivering housing and affordable housing in particular. Obviously, there are corporate issues that may come up during the course of the year that you want to look at as well, and obviously on an annual basis we do look at budgets and budget consultation. So in terms of determining the work programme, this is what we are looking to do this evening. We are looking really to determine, I think, a small number of in-depth reviews. It's advisable not to have too long a list of scrutiny topics to look at. We only have a small number of meetings during the municipal year. So just bear in mind, you might want to start small and learn what works well. And really think about what's in the public interest. What can you change and influence? And are there any ways in which you can affect performance? So it's really important to bear all of those things in mind. The Centre for Public Scrutiny has identified that effectively committee meetings like this are one of the most effective ways of doing scrutiny, but there is also the opportunity to do task and finish groups. They do work well. You can identify or nominate a smaller group of committee members to go away and look at a specific topic, agree a scope, and then come back with specific recommendations to this committee. So you can think about task and finish groups as well as the main committee meetings. You can do reviews to analyse projects or look at delivery of certain services or policies. And think about, again, as I've already said, are there any external organisations that you want to bring in to discuss priorities or any of the projects in the corporate plan? So, in terms of the work programme 23-24, I think this evening, Chair, we want to agree specific topics to be selected and agreed. whether the committee wants to set up a task and finish group and what the topic will be. And obviously, as I've mentioned, there will be standing items at each meeting. There will be a project update and a performance update in line with our performance management framework. So I think those are my slides. I think, Chair, there were some slides that you wanted to talk through. So these set out some suggested topics.
Just before I go on, I should have said that this meeting's being recorded. So I'm not saying be careful of what you say, but be aware that you are being recorded, whatever you do say. I've had a long chat with Dean and with Tim about the timetabling for the sort of key items that we might want to scrutinise. And that's why we've got these dates in green that I need you to contemplate and say whether you think that that is going to work. The first one would be the review of planning performance and measures to address the backlog. That's been an ongoing problem, as most people will know. Dean, I think you thought that August was an appropriate time. Would be the next meeting that we have would be an appropriate time to bring that one to the scrutiny committee. We then go on to the town centre transformation for the November meeting, which I've called the Future High Streets Fund project. So it's the progress of that. Now Michelle will presumably present on that in November, and we should have the information that we need that everybody's been waiting for eagerly over the last 3 years. Want to add anything to that, Michelle?
Just to say that you'll get the normal standing report that covers all of the major projects at the August meeting, so you will get updates on what's actually on the ground, but by November it'll be a much more detailed update.
Does that make sense? I also was very keen that we have a look at Section 106, and it was a possibility that we look at the Section 106 at that meeting, which is the number 3 on Dean's list. For those who are not familiar with Section 106, perhaps, John, you'd expand, so we have a different voice, on what Section 106 is and where we're at with it. Alex Yentl is really responsible for this, isn't he?
Section 106 agreements are in almost always in relation to a planning application. They are to secure something that would otherwise development would not be acceptable. So typically it covers things like affordable housing, it covers open space, sometimes education contributions, highway works, things like that. It, mainly as far as this council is concerned, it is open space, sport and recreation, and affordable housing. Most of those are in, collected in terms of payments. I should also add, can I chase that? Most of those are collected in terms of payments, and they need to be spent in specific areas that are outlined in the Section 106 agreement, and there are also deadlines for the spending of the money, which is what the Section 106 monitoring system involves.
Is anybody who's been here before familiar with that? I can't remember if scrutiny's scrutinised it before, has it?
I think we asked for a report on
a year or so back.
I know it was Brendan's. I think that's all I know.
Oh, Brendan's there.
Yeah, it was one of his favourite topics in the previous meeting.
So
did
you suggest
it? Sorry,
we're talking about Section 106, yes. And it was you who was asking the awkward questions at the time.
Yeah.
And so if we're happy with that, we'll bring that back to the November meeting alongside the Future High Streets Fund and the progress that's being made on Stafford High Street.
So, Chair, that will come in November as well, the 106, or you think that's a later date?
No, I've got the two items for November.
Yes, yeah, because the 106 were being looked into, weren't they, for the the view of a report coming back to councillors on the situation where the one you said to me is just now. So that's going to come in November.
Yeah.
Right.
And presumably it'll be Alex Yandel brings that report.
Chair, if I could just say, I mean, we're just looking at timing. I think we've all, the August meeting, the planning, the John here, the planning performance item, I think, be quite detailed. It'd be probably quite difficult to get the section 106
in
to that meeting as well, because I think we'll probably have a detailed and lengthy discussion.
I'm anticipating 2 hours on the planning. If it's less, then so be it. But I think we need to allow it's such a big subject, and it's had its problems, and it just seems sensible for August to keep one major topic there. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Which leaves us with November for two substantive items, and then January. Is Mies Brook. Is that going to take a whole meeting?
It depends what level of detail the committee wants to go into, because obviously some members are more familiar with it than others.
I think it'd be useful to have a presentation anyway, but I'm not sure that it will be. We could add another item to that, is what I'm saying, if members think there's another topic that is sufficiently. Important for that meeting. Actually, we've got biodiversity net gain in there, haven't we?
Yeah, Chair, I think that was March. Suggested for March. We have a new duty around biodiversity net gain, I think, which comes into November. So I think March would feel right. That really would just to sort of set out what the approach is around biodiversity net gain. And This is something that the local planning authority will have to have a role in terms of protecting local habitats. So there will be work being done around what our policy is and approach.
Can you just explain a bit more for those who aren't familiar with it, Dean? What it is?
Yeah, I can do a little bit, and I'll probably John
or John
or even Michelle can jump in. But as I understand it, we have a new duty around biodiversity net gain, and where we have local developments come forward, developers will need to ensure that they avoid loss of habitat by proposing either on-site or off-site mitigation. If they can't do either, they can buy credits from the government, and then habitat improvements can be done elsewhere. But there is a statutory role that we would need to play through the local planning system. John, I'm sure you can add to that to the extent of what I can say.
If I just add to what Dean said, at present, the requirement is no net loss. From November, it will be net gain. So it moves the emphasis somewhat. So whereas at the moment, that's something that we've taken into account on several other very much larger applications, we'll have to apply that widely. There is, as I understand it, guidance being produced. I don't know when the take this for that. We need that.
And can you just explain what it actually involves for those who are less familiar than the rest of us?
Yes.
What do you have to do as the developer?
It's basically looking at a site and calculating what the biodiversity is at the present time, and then looking at it in relation to the development. So if, for example, you're developing a greenfield site, there will be a loss of biodiversity, and therefore you'll have to both mitigate that and provide net gain. On some sites, you can have something where a development will actually improve the biodiversity on site. Doesn't happen that often, but it is possible. It depends on what the site is like at the moment. So, for example, if it's a brownfield site, in other words, it's been previously developed, it's quite possible that you could improve biodiversity on site through a development. It's done by a means of calculating, there's a metric involved. I can't say I fully understand the way it's calculated. But we,
the Cabinet, will have to decide what percentage of net gain they are looking for, because it's minimum 10% dictated by the government. But you could have more. Scott?
Would it be the developer that would do those calculations, or would it be an external consultant?
The developer, in submitting the details with their application, would show that calculation, but we would check that. We have a biodiversity officer who is experienced in that type of thing.
And so that's it. So that's a topic for March. And wait a minute, before that, I've also got a suggestion of looking at business and leisure tourism. Now, I'm not sure where that'll fit in or whether that'll fit in, just to have a look at the progress or work that's been done in terms of the grants that have been taken up and what impact they're having on the businesses. I'll put that in March as well.
Chair, was that in relation to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund? Just being clear, it's a business and leisure tourism, but UK Shared Prosperity Fund, I think we'd be able to
just to see what the outputs were, to put it in the jargon.
Maybe we could put that into January.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the programme for the grant payments during this current financial year. March might actually work quite well, because not only will we be able to tell you how the money's being spent, we should by that point be able to see some of the outputs from it, so it might just take a little bit further along.
Might be an opportunity to go and have a look at somebody who's received the grant and doing a good job. Because again, thinking of task and finish there, are opportunities for us to go out and do some more work rather than just receiving reports from officers. So if anybody's got ideas, particularly for things you'd like to have a look at within the capacity of the officers, then do come forward with it. It'd be really helpful to do that. That's the topics. And then we've got down it's 11th of January is done that. Potential task and finish group. We've got down here, we've got a review of events and activities in Stafford Town Centre and the parks. I don't know how that would fit into this year's programme, or when and where it would. Is it slightly out of kilter? Or would it tie in with the sort of visitor economy stuff?
Yes.
Anybody got any thoughts on that?
So we've obviously got Market Square Works coming to a conclusion, and I think events around that take priority, but there is a wide piece of work to look at the forward programme of those events. Mm. So it might make sense if we maybe look back in the new year, by which point we'll have a better idea of what that programme is starting to look like.
Does that sound sense to everyone? And would we be happy to run it as a task and finish group?
I think, Chair, it would make sense, because it's quite a good one for a small group to go away and do a bit more work with the officers and come back with some suggestions. So I would support what Michelle said, in that probably a January time, perhaps. I guess, Jim, we don't need a decision today which members want the group. It could be done later, but you could decide to set that up with a small group, meet in the new year, and come back to the March meeting with some initial ideas. You could even carry into the next municipal year.
Sure. I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
Does that have it? Everybody, does that sound a possibility or make sense? Are there other task and finish groups? Are there any burning issues that people feel that you'd like to raise other than the ones that we've put forward? because I very much set this agenda and I don't want to feel I'm overriding everybody else. I've done it with the officers really because the timetables fit for those items. They are the substantive items at the moment. Unless the cabinet member would like to tell us that there's some more things coming down the line that we ought to be considering.
One thing you could think about for the January one, you talk about Meath, but why not talk about the local plan as a whole?
We need to look at the local. What's the timing on the local plan? Yes, that was the.
Alex, no.
At what stage?
I think in terms of the local plan, as you know, we've gone through the preferred option stage of the regulation. Teams obviously reviewed all of their consultation responses and need to take a view on the next stage. I think if you're going to look at the local plan and also sort of fold into that means for January would feel right, because by then I think we'll have a clear review. And you've got some quite significant topics earlier on the review anyway. So we could do local plan
and Neasbrook
as part of January.
The only other thought is to revisit the planning. You're talking about it in August. It would be nice to have a report back to scrutiny, say January or March, but whatever fits in, don't overload it. If in many ways to celebrate the success of the improvements that you talked about in August, there's that report back to you. I think that might be appropriate. Assuming we'll be successful.
I didn't even respond to that. We'd have an update anyway from the minutes, presumably, but it would be sensible. I think it is quite sensible to put in these items, because otherwise you end up just going through the lists of performance targets and all the rest of it, which we did get a bit bogged down with that in the past. And I'm very keen that what we're doing is original work, rather than reviewing stuff that's 3 months old. So, Jim, I think we'll slot it in for January.
Sounds good.
And then we may slip. And if there are other items that come up, obviously. Just explaining the call-in process, which I find extremely difficult to get my head round. For those of us who actually haven't a clue what we're talking about in this respect, basically a committee can call in an item from the cabinet, but we have to do it within so many days, don't we?
10 days,
is it? So, and it's something that I don't think it happens very often. But it does mean that every member needs to read the cabinet papers pretty carefully and then come back and say, look, there's an item I'd like to raise. So be aware of that. We'll mention it again. So we've got a programme. Is everybody happy with that?
It's not casting schools, is it?
No, absolutely not. And if there are other items that come through the system, we'll have to adjust, again, very consciously, how much time the officers can give to doing the work.
We just go to the recommendation on page 3, Chairman.
Page 3?
Yeah, there you go. There you were, just it. There you go. Number 2.
Are we going to note the report?
Subject to the amendments.
Subject to the amendments. And the amendments is everything that we've added. Well, I think we've actioned the report, actually, rather than noted it. Anybody second?
Thank you.
We agree to that. So the next item, rolling through.
Page 9, Chairman.
I want to tear these pages apart. Economic Growth, Development and Regeneration Project Update. I think we're over to Michelle for this.
So this is a standing item on the agenda. It's been there since last September. So if you look back at the old papers, last September we basically did quite a detailed update on each of the major projects, basically say this is where we're at currently. Now each month we do an update on those projects that have any significant activity. So The town centre public realm works are featured quite heavily. Obviously, they'll start to drop off as that work comes to its conclusion, and other items will kind of rise to the centre. So, if there's ever one of these reports that doesn't cover off a particular project, it's not because it's gone away, it's just because there's nothing significant to update on for the current meeting. What I've tried to do in the report is acknowledge the fact that some of you know these projects almost as well as I do, but others of you won't have seen them at all before. So I've tried to give enough detail that it makes sense. But I've been thinking and reading and living this for a long time, and I do fall into shorthand. So if anything in there doesn't make sense, just give me a shout. So if it's okay, I'll kind of whiz through the projects one by one.
Should we go page by page?
Yeah, okay.
Starting with page 10, I think.
So we start with Peach High Street's fund, and again, if you've looked at the previous reports, you'll see a paragraph that advises that there is progress being made with elements of the Future High Street Fund programme that we can't communicate on just at the moment, just because it's a commercial negotiation that we're going through. That's not to say there isn't work going on, it's just not something we can openly discuss at the moment. The two projects that are active in the public domain at the moment are the Market Square renovation works, which everybody's seen what's going on out there. It is working to programme, so it's due to be finished in the autumn. There's a huge amount of work gone into the relaying of the Market Square. It's really tricky because it is a flat piece of ground, and we've brought up the stones, we're putting down the stones, but actually in sort of engineering terms it's been fantastically complicated. There's all kinds of stuff going on underneath that surfacing, not least underground toilets, which I've spent quite a lot of time talking about because they're like mythical in Stafford. But we're now at a point where you can see the alignment of the road coming back into use around the edge of the square. So for those of you familiar with Stafford, going back from 25 years-ish, the road layout was such that it kind of went in a wavy line around the square, which was confusing for vehicles because then they started just driving in straight lines, which is where you then started getting cracks in your paving. So with the road realigned into the normal shape, hopefully that will prevent those vehicles from doing that. So that's the thing that you'll notice next, is that roadway going in. As I say, on track for completion in autumn. Then the other public realm project...
Just stopping you there, what do you mean by autumn?
Autumn. Hmm. So I would say late September, early October, that kind of time.
Because I think all members are being asked what the actual date's likely to be.
I only hesitate because while we're still lifting things up, we can't be 100% certain we won't across something. So, you know, we found wires that we then had to work out who they belonged to because they weren't on any plans, that kind of thing. But in terms of the rate at which the paving is going down, it's on track for that kind of time period.
So does that mean to you that the Market Square will then be ready for the public to stroll and think how lovely it is?
And that's another reason why we want to have this events task and finish,
yes.
Because we can then sort of analyse what's happening. Because
right.
It's all very well building this wonderful, big, expensive
exactly.
square, but it needs to be used.
Okay, so the station approach is basically what we're calling the area that's immediately in front of the railway station in Stafford. So at the moment, what you've got is a set of traffic lights that kind of act as the bridge between people coming out of the station and getting across and going through Victoria Park into the town centre. It's not the easiest movement in and out of the town. It's really tricky, really tricky. Because of the Stafford Western Access Road that runs along Doxey Road and then through Castlefield, that's taking a lot of the traffic that previously would have been coming down the Newport Road and around the station. So that area should be more friendly for pedestrians. But just because the traffic's getting quieter, it's still really difficult to navigate. So what this project's doing is basically giving it a really good tidy up. We've worked really closely with Avanti and Network Rail so that we can look at disabled parking spaces and also the drop-off area. So anyone that's ever picked anyone up from a train at tea time in Stafford knows it's really difficult just even getting in and out of the station, let alone trying to stop long enough to drag someone through the door. So all of that will be tidied up. and road resurfacing works. And part of the rationale for this is basically when people are coming to Stafford on the train, we want them to get off the train, walk through the park, enjoy the park, go into the town centre, so that we've got that footfall there, instead of getting off the train, jumping straight in a taxi and disappearing away from the town. So without using the word gateway, because then that confuses the station gateway, it is a gateway into the town centre. So we're at the moment, we are in the dying throes of a procurement process for on-site contractors. So that closes on the 12th of July, and we've had a nice healthy interest from companies saying that they'd like to submit a tender for that, so that's all very positive.
Thanks. Julie wanted to speak.
I'm just curious, taxis. Yeah. I'll never forget the first time I came to Stafford in the dark. Before, how did you get to cab?
Yeah, so the taxi element, that is being tidied up as well. What I'm not sure, we've put a CGI out with the latest press release, but I don't think that shows very well where the taxi area is, so I'll make sure that detail's circulated to the committee, because we've worked with the licensing manager who works with taxi companies to make sure that that pick up and drop off is much smoother. Yeah.
And Jenny wants to speak.
Thank you, Chair. Disabled parking for Christine and that, will that be still the borough for 4 hours, or will it be extended longer if you've got to go to trains, etc.? I know some places don't have long stay for disabled.
Yes, so these are borough council. Yes, these are borough council parking spaces. Right. So this is where we've worked with Vanty, who basically have the lease of the land at the front of the station. Right. So they operate these spaces. From memory, I don't think we're making any alterations to the way in which they operate. It's just to do with the number that we're offering, but I can clarify that for you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. So yes, the new public short stay plan.
Yes. So basically, at the moment, you've got the drop-off area, which kind of has the spaces that sort of go side on like this, but then there's some that are flush to the curb, and that's it in terms of the public area. On the left-hand side of the station, as you're coming out, there's probably about twice the size, an area that's been valued off, and that's been used by Avanti staff. We've been really lucky in that that's been added to this scheme, so that will be available for additional parking.
And the existing scheme that you can use in
yes. Julie, you need to speak up because of the recording.
So the multi-storey car park scheme has allowed people to park for 20-minute periods. That still remains?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, there's no changes proposed to that. It's multi-storey, and also if you go past the front of the station, there's a small surface car park. You can also park on there for 20 minutes as well.
Okay. No more questions on that, I don't think so. Meesbrook next.
Okay, so with the Meesbrook programme, we have a number of work streams that are basically building the evidence base for inclusion of Meesbrook in the local plan. So these are all the technical reports that basically say, this is the idea, does it actually work? So the main one of those on the books at the moment is the strategic outline business case for the railway station within Meesbrook. So this is something where we have some consultants called SLC who are working with ourselves and Network Rail to basically say, if there was to be a railway station at Meesbrook, what are the options and how does that stack up in terms of feasibility, viability, whether there's the land there to be able to build it, all the kind of technical details that the railway need to understand. And basically this strategic outline business case will look at what the art of the possible is and then say to Network Rail, this is what we think is the best option for Meesbrook. So that's coming to a conclusion over the next couple of months, at which point officers will kind of do a bit of a review of that. But when we can share that with the committee, we will do, because it's a very detailed piece of work that I think answers a lot of questions that came out when we had the local plan consultation, where people were saying, well, I don't really understand what's going on with the railway, purely because we haven't quite got to this bit yet. So that's ongoing. And then master planning work, and viability work. We've also got consultants engaged on that, but this is where the different elements of the Eastbrook programme kind of knit together. So we need to understand what we're doing in terms of railway station, to understand what a master plan would look like, to understand what the maps looks like, to see how it all adds up. So when we do an update on Eastbrook, you tend to get it across multiple work streams because they're all kind of relying on each other for bits of information, but that's where we're up to at the moment.
Can I really ask you honestly what really are the possibilities of getting a railway station there?
So it's
here. I find it really hard to believe that there will be a railway station there. Now, if Network Rail don't go along the path of this idea, then is there any other way that a railway station can be placed there? Or is it really dependent on Network Rail saying, yes, we will go along with you?
So to do this piece of work, we had to do two previous pieces of work. And the titles are very dull, but they do kind of explain what they do. So we had to do a pre-feasibility study, which was basically, and I promise you the rail technicians explain this more eloquently, but things like, is the railway line straight enough to have a station, or is it too bendy? Is there capacity on the railway line to actually have a station that trains stop at, or are we going to create issues either side of Eastbrook? And basically, we went through that pre-feasibility work, and if you can't demonstrate that physically it's possible, you stop there. So that was a green light. So we then went on to the feasibility study, which basically then does like the next iteration of detail around all of those items. And again, that came up with a green light. So you don't do this very large and detailed piece of work unless you've got some surety that, that you can actually deliver this. What we have to do is make sure that what we're putting forward as a preferred location for railway station is right for Eastbrook, but also right for Network Rail, and that's why it's such a lengthy piece of work. What we're not at yet, so I can say to you, this is where it's going to be, this is what's going to cost, this is when it's going to open, but what we have the rail experts doing is saying, if it goes here and it was to open at around this date, based on what we know about potential passenger numbers, this is the money it would make, this is whether the station's viable, and that's what Network Rail care about. You know, is this going to be something that's a positive for the network?
And Chair, is the funding still available for all this detailed work?
So
ahead and when you suddenly say, we have no money, when you stop, this is stopped because the money's drawn out and we can't do any more studies.
So there's a report going to Cabinet which we do every year, which is around the delegations for spending of the money that we've had from Homes England. So Homes England have been our funders for the last 3-4 years, and it's called capacity funding, and it's basically looking at the big ticket items that if we weren't taking them forward, you know, there isn't any funding for them. So that's looked at things like water studies, energy studies, and that's what's paying for the rail strategic outline business case. So ordinarily there's a chance to bid into the capacity fund once a year, and basically throughout, let me get the financial year right, 2022-3, there wasn't a round of funding, and that was basically because with all the changes in government, that then dictates which departments get what budgets, which then dictates what funds are available to feed into, and essentially there just wasn't a funding round. So we're waiting for the current year's one to open up. At some point we will have exhausted the support we can get from Homes England, but that's where the landowners then kind of pick up the reins and take things forward. So it just means a slight shift in the way that we look to do the funding.
Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, so
keep
that
on.
Takes us on to Westbridge Park. So this is just to update basically on the works there to do with the play area, which I'm sure that the item most members will be interested in seeing is due for completion November 2023, so that's really positive. And I'm not aware of any issues or anything that we need to flag there, so that's just literally an on the ground piece of work now.
I believe there's been, shall we say, disputes from residents because they've taken away some of the existing play equipment before they fitted any of the replacement. And apparently, I've seen it online somewhere, there's been quite several complaints about it. Jill Hood would probably know that, I think.
I can feel it, yeah. Some of the children's play swings were removed from the current park, and obviously there's not been anything put in place in the new build, and it's just meant that some of the families with smaller children have gone up there during nice weather to find that there's no equipment that's suitable for their age group. Is that got anything to do with the build of the park, or is that just maintenance issues?
That's part of the overall transformation of the park. Some equipment has been removed, but there is new play equipment, some new play area being constructed. There is a new woodland play trail, which I believe the works have been complete. They're not open yet, but they will be shortly. And I think overall the progress on the ground is good. We anticipate all the works will be completed by November. There has been substantial process. I think we've progressed. I think, Chair, we probably will be putting some more information on our website in due course. But you just watch this space on that one.
Can I just come back on that?
Sure.
So I understand what you're saying. However, for anybody who has a small child who wanted to use a swing that's no longer there, and there is nothing else there for that child to use, and evidently that the swings haven't been built, why has the equipment been removed so soon in that process, preventing families from using it?
Without knowing the detail over, because this one is one of my projects, I know that there are a number of phases to this, where the transformation of one area is dependent on getting another area, because we're moving the elements around. So is this the area that's sort of by the road?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know that would have to come out so that the replacement can go in. And because it's such a constrained site, and because it's such a complicated set of phasing, I think there are, in an ideal world, you wouldn't take swings out until you've got new swings in elsewhere. But I think to make sure it sticks to programme, there are elements where you can't have that overlap, unfortunately. But yeah, in an ideal world, you keep the old swings until the new ones are there.
Thank you, members. It makes sense, the suggestion to have a task and finish group on events and activities in the town centre and the parks. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I think it would be sensible to do it. What we haven't done is to say when we'll do that. And we did, I think, Jim said we don't need to decide who does it, but if anybody is interested to sit on that, it's worth just perhaps putting your hand up now. When did we say we'd do it?
January.
I suggest it might be too late. If you've got the Market Square and Wakefield Park opening up in the autumn, shouldn't you have a programme of events at least outlined?
Yes, I'm hoping that the administration will have produced the programme of events and we'll be...
Would you not want to look at that before the facilities are open to the public?
We can set a task and finish group up in the autumn if everybody's happy. How much resource do you need, Dean, how much resource do you need to support a task and finish group, if any?
Usually, depending on the topic, we would identify...
Well, this one in particular.
Yeah, a lead officer or a couple of officers to support the group. Whoever is involved in doing events.
Okay.
Somebody from Michelle's team, maybe somebody else, so one or two officers.
Well, I'm taking the advice of the Cabinet member and that we should bring it forward. When would be a good time to do it, then?
Assuming resources aren't a problem.
Yeah, I'm just very conscious of that.
Yeah.
I think we could probably suggest January would be a better time, just in terms of resource availability. We can make the resource available, but just at the moment, the focus is on actually doing the regeneration work and getting the markets for a moment up.
Okay.
So, if that's okay,
what,
Chair.
What do you think, everyone? You okay with January?
Yeah.
Very conscious of what Ant has said.
It is a key time, isn't it, where things used to happen in the market square.
We were just thinking in terms of Market Square and the kind of launch around that. Perhaps we can have a discussion about whether you may want to be put into that. Obviously, the work is going to be complete, and we're going to do some events on the back of it. So,
yes, I think what we're looking at is the economic
area rather than doing the wider group. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what I'm concerned about. You could do it in two stages, from the Market Square first and then broader across.
I think broader, because Westbridge is equally important in its own right. So we could certainly start with the Market Square. Is it too soon? I mean, will you set up the events? Have you got them lined up already?
No, I think when's our next meeting?
August.
End of August.
Yeah.
Really thinking about it, if we're looking at a kind of October launch, we don't want to be much later than that anyway.
Yeah.
What do people think? Is anybody keen on a task and finish group to see how these we've got Westbridge Park, we've got Victoria Park. It's the economic benefits of the it's the sort of visitor economy stuff that we're looking at, and if we're going to do it, we ought to do it at a time that's suitable for the officers, but equally a time that that we can have some impact and help us out.
Is November suitable for the
market?
November launch?
I agree with that. I think Dean's suggestion of a two-stage, the events you would have on the green field sites are much more likely to be spring or autumn. So you can wait till January and do the scrutinising and helping out. But the Market Square autumn launch, I think, do that as stage one and have that same task and finish, do a step two, and that way you've got balance to it.
And could we set it as an agenda item for August, so that we can decide who gets involved with it?
Traditionally, it's a whole membership of the committee.
Is it?
Yeah.
For task and finish?
Yeah, that's what we've done in the past.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Shows how long I've been involved, since I've been involved in it. That's fine. So in that case, we UK Shared Prosperity Fund now, Michelle.
Yes, so I won't label this one too much, because this is...
Sorry. There was just something I wanted to ask about, because the Food and Drink Festival went to Kiddleston.
The Stone Food and Drink.
Yeah. So is that going to come back to Westbridge Park in the future, or is that permanently removed then? Because I think there was a lot of upset in the town and the trading.
Perhaps
we could. I don't know, but
it's quite important, I think, because it provides a huge footfall in Stone itself.
It always did, it was a huge bit.
Yeah, really big. And,
and it's really tricky when you're doing something of this scale, because there's always going to be disruption, unfortunately.
Obviously.
But, and we can quite quickly find out what's going to
happen. I think the local traders wanted to come back to the town. Issue.
Well, we could ask for somebody to come and speak to the Task and Finish group from the Stone Festival team.
Richard Stevens.
Richard Stevens, for sure.
To ask the same thing of the Stone Festival as well. I know it took place in the high street, but it was not the same event at all. Is that going to return back to Westbridge Park as well, or is that going to be a remaining?
I don't have the answers to those questions. I think we'll have to check.
I think all these things are very good to pick up at the Task and Finish group. Groups, the second one, it'll be in this case January, won't it? And the other thing that I would mention is the cheese fair, which was last weekend, which is an international cheese show. It had exhibitors from across the world, and it is simply not being publicised to the extent that you'd like to see it. So that sort of coordination of the local authority with the private enterprises that run these things is something that would be worth having a look at in due course.
Okay, so UK Shared Prosperity Fund, this is included in the performance report in quite some detail, but essentially we've had our first tranche of money. The projects that were outlined for the previous financial year have been receiving funding, which includes the tennis court at Ecclesall. They were installing an artificial grass tennis court, and also the relaunch of the Our Beautiful Borough campaign. That was something that was created during the pandemic and has basically been kind of refreshed with a new campaign, Our Time to Explore, which is about the whole of the borough. It's not focused on town centres or the rural areas, it's the whole of the borough. And we've also had approval for our second year worth of spend, and so you'll start seeing more of those projects coming through the pipeline as we move forward. Slightly different is the Rural England Prosperity Fund, which was basically announced as a kind of addendum to the main UK Shared Prosperity Fund. We haven't received any funds on that yet, so that's why that's gone quiet, because obviously we can't start any of the work that we plan to do until that funding's been received. So it was we were hoping for end of June, early July, from what we were hearing. As at the end of last week, we haven't had an update. So as soon as there is something to say on that, we will say that there's a plan of work ready to go, so we'll hit the ground running with that one.
That's 487,000.
That's the one, yes.
Where is that fund?
So the all of the information around UK Shared Prosperity Fund went to Cabinet in, I think, February, but I can double check on that for you.
And that completes your report, I think, Michelle. Thank you very much.
Okay, there is information
about
that.
Yeah, there is, sorry.
And we move on to quarter four end of year performance.
Page 13, Chairman.
Page 13. And that's over to you, Dean.
Thanks, Chairman. So this is a sort of looking back report, really, because it's quarter four end of year. Obviously, going forward, you'll get quarterly updates at each meeting. I talked earlier about the corporate plan and the corporate business objectives. We held a whole series of projects and actions against corporate business objective one, which I said earlier is mainly around sort of economic development and housing. So in terms of the projects within the delivery plans, majority of those have either been completed or are on target. There are only three projects where work was behind schedule. And we also have a series of key performance indicators which are set out. So the projects are at Appendix 1, and the KPIs are at Appendix 2. So there are six KPIs, five are exceeding target and one on target. In terms of the projects, as I think you've probably already picked up, Michelle's updated on the majority of those. They are contained in the delivery plan. I think, as we've already outlined, we're going to cover them in one shape or form during the course of this year at scrutiny. So I wasn't proposing to go through it line by line, Chair, but there are three red crosses where performance or work was behind schedule, one of which was around affordable housing, where we work with registered providers, developers and homes in order to deliver 210 affordable homes per year. We've had, I think, going back, you know, we've performed well against this particular metric, I think, over the last 12 months. We have seen a slowdown in terms of the affordable homes delivery. I think as sites start to become less available, I think you obviously will get an update on the local plan later on this year, and clearly within the new local plan we'll be setting out the policies to encourage affordable houses to come forward and new sites to come forward. So that is one just to flag up and
I mean, there's a shortfall, quite a large shortfall. Are you going to be able to make up that shortfall? Is that the idea, that you'll catch up with it?
I think the
intention... Or are you just moving on from that and setting new targets? Or?
I think the intention is to still try and deliver as many affordable houses as possible.
Yes, Chair. The figure, the 210 figure, derives from the local plan, and that was a calculated requirement. What our local plan does, which some others don't, is aim to meet 100% of the need, i.e. 210. And some authorities, they choose to make 50%, 75%, something like that. So that was quite an ambitious figure. And there are some years where we have met it and exceeded it, but it depends on two things. One, you get on many developments we get 30% affordable housing provision, unless it's a viability issue. So it partly depends on the progress on private housing sites and when during that development the affordable comes in. And then the second reason why we were achieving this in some years was where house registered providers were coming forward with affordable only schemes, such as what was Stafford and Rural Homes and things like that. Over the last year or so, that's diminished quite a lot, and I think that's quite a lot of the reduction in the figure.
You say it's been exceeded the final year. How many homes did they exceed by? Why hasn't that been carried over into this year? What? So if you've seen by, let's say you've got 250 last year, why don't you just take those 40, bring them into this year, so we'll have actually higher up on the affordable homes. I don't understand why that can't be done.
Just check and see if we can figure out.
Yeah, we're just looking at the local plan annual monitoring report because that's basically where those figures are collected, but it refers to the whole of the plan period as opposed to the 1 year that you're asking.
Yeah, it just seems to me that you're striving for something which you may have already achieved.
Yeah, you're suggesting you balance out the average out the figures.
The number of affordable units delivered during 2021-2 was 261, but I don't think those provisions kind of carry those forward into the next year, but then when you look at the plan period as a whole...
For sure we should be.
No, because the requirement looks at the overall provision over the plan period.
Yeah.
So we get this when we have public inquiries in terms of... sites, and what applicants do is look at the progress over the plan period. So some of the early years in the plan period we were significantly down. Then we caught up with that, and there were years when we were above that figure, but they basically add them all up, divide by the number of years, and that's what we're delivering. So at this point in time, if we had a public inquiry tomorrow, that would show that overall we're not doing 210 per year.
Can I suggest I take this back to the officers? I think this stat could be more easily represented here, showing a cumulative trend graph, whatever, to show whether we're above or below the cumulative. But that's the important number, is cumulative.
Yeah, we'll look forward to your response.
I'm struggling to understand. So the 30% requirement to provide affordable housing, where do we stand on that this year?
So monitoring period, 1st of April to the 31st of March, and then the delivery is calculated from the 1st of April, looking at the previous 12 months. So I don't know that we've got this year's figure yet, because it's usually late summertime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually put together about this time of year, and then finalised in probably next month.
Yeah.
So that figure of 210 affordable homes, that equates to, that was a target that equated to 30% of
The 210 is the need, is the calculated need when the local plan was produced. That's made up of two elements. One is the proportion from large house building sites, so how sites of over 10 houses basically. The local plan policy requirement is 30% affordable. So that's where that comes from. The other element is where we get affordable only schemes, which are housing associations with registered providers that put those forward. So some of the big housing schemes in the borough, however, are not delivering 30% affordable because of viability. And our assessment, because that was put forward as part of their planning application. So if they're not accepting 30%, they have to demonstrate on viability grounds. We would then instruct either district valuer or somebody else to check those figures, to interrogate them, and to establish what the answer is. So there are schemes around the borough where delivering 10% and not 30%.
Is that okay? Have you got a hand up?
Councillor Phillips.
I was just stretching.
Oh, that's all right. No worries. I couldn't quite see you. Are we okay with that? It is. It's really complicated, and it's going to get more complicated because the government's about to change the law completely. So I wouldn't get too exercised about it. Future of the planning system is going to be interesting. Money's got a hand up now.
I'm just wondering, with these end dates, we've got so many of them that are saying ongoing.
Yes, can we? It's ridiculous.
Is there anything we can do to change that? I mean, from what you've just said about the first one that says ongoing, that there is a date of completion. It might not be this year, but there is an estimated completion date. Can we not change some of these to give us an idea of when these end dates are actually going to be?
For you, Chair, yes, we will be doing that. As I said, this is a kind of looking back report. It was done in the previous format, I think, as the new leadership team reviewed all of these performance reports. We're trying to pick these up and update them, and I think we've all recognised that we do need to be a bit more precise. So yes, we will.
I do understand that we've looked at different formats historically and tried to make them smiley faces and
symbols are in there, which they're kind of a little bit easier. But I think in terms of end dates, yes, we can do that, and we will be doing that.
I think it would be helpful because apart from anything else, it's making that look like it's a failure, and that's not the case either. No, especially if it's got to even itself out. So if we've got some indication of, the percentage in those number of years that have gone past so far is that we are basically on track, then we should at least have an understanding of that.
We'll be scrutinising that shortly. Michelle?
Just to say, I think there's different types of indicators going on that have all got ongoing. So, for example, the affordable housing delivery one, we do the thing around where are we in terms of the plan period. You put the plan period in, then you can understand where you are. Yeah. Whereas, if you look at the one that's around land charges performance, that is genuinely ongoing. So if you want to know how that process is, you know, there'll never be an end date to that because it's always happening. But then I think if the ongoing ones do refer to that kind of process-led stuff rather than more kind of target to attain.
Yeah, I think this is the final year of this core plan. Obviously, we'll be looking to create a new core plan. There's an opportunity just with the format of that and how we present it. I think, obviously, I'm new to this in terms of staff, but it is a bit of a combination of projects, activities, and kind of business as usual. You know, land charges is one of those. And there's probably a different way we could present that information, maybe in terms of performance indicators or something like that. So I think it's a fair challenging question. We are looking at it, and we will need to develop an updated or a new corporate plan anyway. But in terms of the performance reports, we will try and update and refresh and make it a bit clearer. I mean, the affordable homes one is a really good one. It's not actually my area. Anna Nevin is the head of service who has responsibility around housing strategy and housing delivery, and she did email me before the meeting, but she's probably better placed than any of us to explain some of the kind of practical issues. We can look at planning and policy, etc. But we'll look at the commentary and how we can sharpen that up.
That would be helpful.
Particularly where there's a red cross.
Yeah. They're never red crosses on our sheets because they're always in black and white.
One actually is land charges, and that's Michelle's area, but I don't know if Michelle has anything to say on that.
Yeah, it was just to say that the red cross, it looked quite scary when the reality on the ground is essentially 60-70% of a local land charge search is information that we hold within the borough. But there's an element that relates to primarily highways and some other bits that are county council functions. And basically, land charges is one of those service areas where Stafford, Cannock, the other districts all have very small teams. County Council also has a very small team. When you lose someone out of that team, you see the impact on performance immediately, and it's something where we have a 10-day service level agreement with the County Council that basically we need them to be turning over the searches so that we can get the responses out within 10 days. It doesn't take much of an impact on resource to skew those figures. What I would say is the land charges team at the Borough Council, where someone's saying, but my house sale is at risk because of this. We've got a really good working relationship with the county that if they are able to complete something, that we can do that. So although it looks alarming, the number that are being done within that period, they're actually not taking an excessive amount of time to do.
Thank you. Anybody else got any points? So we'll look forward to the review form. I've been asking for this for years. We'll wait to see. We've got one more item, I think, only, haven't we?
Yes, Chairman, item 7D.
Item 7D, business planning report, and that's a historic report. I'm not going to go through this. Has anybody got any comments? Because this is simply the report of the last scrutiny committee and the work that they did. And it may be that there are things that you'd like to have some information about. Anybody?
No.
I do what Jack Kemp did. It's page 25, page 26, and then the rest is probably good.
Yes, I see in the report on page 26, there's a mention there in the report on 106.
Oh, yes. Section 106, room or something.
Chair, sorry, can we go back to 1.24
on page 18. Page 18, please. We're going back to page 18, everybody. I don't know. It was. That's the appendix, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Only 5%. Searches received. Obviously, it's still
not very good performance in the planning at the moment. Is there any update on it?
Yes, that's what Michelle's just explained. Are you talking about the planning department or the or local land charges? Well, we're going to spend at least 2 hours on the whole of the planning development service, and I think we wait for the information to come through from the officers, and then we will have the debate on that, which that was the August meeting, so you've only got a month to wait.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say on that was the planning officers in London and Manchester, they obviously have to do work for the borough. They're not local. So how do they really decide on planning issues? You know, if it was a local planning officer, they would know the area. Agency workers are okay, but when they're out of the area,
We've gone back. We'll pick all that up, Jenny, at the August meeting.
Okay.
And I ask you to take note of what is said about the use of agency workers and whether they have the competence and experience to deal with local planning.
Very briefly, Chair, we only bring people in who are competent and experienced. You know, at the moment we have a backlog of applications, we're working through, we brought additional resources in. Yes, some of them are based in other parts of the country, but we are working in, you know, a very different environment now where we've got technology and they do come up to the office to do site visits, have team meetings, so we absolutely will only appoint competent and experienced people, but we are having to deal with a significant issue at the moment around dealing with applications and bringing that backlog down. We'll present a more detailed update at the next meeting. John and I will go through all the numbers with you as we, where we are and some of the actions that we're taking. Chair, I'll just ask if we can cover that.
And if anybody's got any points that you want to be included at that discussion, send them through to John, is it you, or to probably, or to Dean, or whoever, and just send any specific points that you'd like to be considered, or to Ant. I mean, it matters not, so that we cover all the concerns that people have, which is important.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I think we've completed the agenda.
So, Chair, can I ask a question going on?
Yeah, sorry.
On King's Deliverable, 1.4, please. Yeah,
sorry.
The borough is still seeing a high number of vacancies.
So basically this relates to the number of vacant positions there are for people to apply for within the borough. So Pets at Home has been cited as an example because that's quite a large number of new positions available, and it's about understanding whether we are short or not on skills. I think the point here is that knowing that the Pets at Home HQ was being relocated to Stafford, we've been working with other partners to look at how to find people that have the skills for those jobs. So yeah, there are vacancies still available at Pets at Home, but we know what it is that's needed to fill those.
I think one of the other things, we did quite a lot of work at the time with the college to provide for the skills needs that incoming business was looking for. And it's a piece of work that the officers, I think, are extremely good at doing in conjunction with the with Stafford College in particular.
I wonder if what the planning or thinking about issues such as the impact of the recent announcement from Amazon on its closure.
What? That, that's not in our borough, is it?
No, I think just through you, Chair, obviously, Amazon UK have a fulfilment centre in Rugeley in Carrick Chase, obviously where a mile of the hat. They did make an announcement last week that they are consulting on proposed closure of that facility. They're moving to Sutton Coalfield. There are around about 1,000 workers potentially affected. They are looking to redeploy as many as possible. As part of kind of our work, the work of Canet Chase Council, they will be looking at how they can support the local community. And I think if there are employment opportunities being created within a commutable sort of travel to work distance, even if they're in Stafford, it will be looking at what is out there and helping people as far as we can. But that's probably all I can say in relation to that.
So it could be helpful to Stafford. Any more points? Sorry. Closing the meeting before everybody's spoken. That's it. Thank you for everybody for your attendance. I look forward to seeing you in August. And if anybody's got